This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, Rob Wilson and I will wrap up a very big week, including Federal Reserve in hot water, but I think the joke's on us. The Jeff Horovitz Show starts now. All right, welcome. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today with my good friend from Timberline Firearms and Training, Rob Wilson. Rob,
how you doing? Jeff.
Hey, did you get any of that insider information so you could make money on stocks and all that?
I think you have to be an elected official to get that, don't you? Yeah. Isn't that the way that works?
Isn't that how Congress does it?
Apparently, yeah.
Check this out real quick. Fed Chief Powell, this is from CNBC.
So the Federal Reserve Chief?
Yep. The people that have pumped $6 trillion plus dollars into the system in the past eight months, something
like that. Imaginary $6
trillion? Yes. And other officials own securities central bank bought during COVID pandemic. So they look through the financial records of Chairman Jerome Powell, the CNBC. Like I said, the Fed was buying certain municipal bonds, certain real estate investment trusts.
Which makes them more valuable, right?
Well, yeah. So the Federal Reserve was pumping into these things while the individuals were buying also individual corporate bonds and Pepsi, Homeco, Eli Lilly. This goes on and on. I think the joke's just kind of on us at this point, Rob.
All the people in control have all the information.
Yeah.
They're keeping it a secret from us.
Yeah.
They're getting rich. We're funding it.
Yes.
Is that the short version of that?
That's the short version. And and it's just corrupt on monumental levels. It's just, it's, I'd say it's unreal, but it's real.
Oh, yeah.
And it's happening all over the place.
And we've been seeing it for, you know, the last few decades where we have senators that make, you know, $150,000 a year that are multimillionaires.
Yeah. How's that happen? Like, who's that? The one out of California? There's, well, actually, Pelosi got awfully wealthy. And then the one out of L.A., Maxine Waters, you know, is multi. How do they all become? They go into office. They have nothing when they come in. And then they come out, or while they're there, they become multimillionaires.
Just like that.
Just somehow, like that, yeah. Like clockwork. All right. You folks have a comment, I'd love to hear from you. The Just Wireless text line is open. I've got several text comments already, and I've been reading them during the 5 o'clock hour, but today we will sprinkle them in here during the 4 o'clock hour. 877-971-3971. And the text line is brought to you by Just Wireless, and they've got two locations in Flagstaff. If you want to get your smartphone fixed, your tablet, your gaming console, you can drop it off at one of their two locations. They have a location right across from the Flagstaff Mall where you can just drive in, do the drive-thru, because, Rob, everybody wants to. It's convenient. Drop it off.
Absolutely. If we have to stand up and actually move our feet, I mean, oh, my God.
Yeah. So Just Wireless will fix it. They fixed my charging port, and they fixed my mother-in-law's older iPhone, new battery. They can do cracked screens. Plus, they have refurbished devices, which is good for the environment because we're throwing out all kinds of crap now. Go ahead.
And that's great because, you know, why should we be throwing away so much of what we have in our lives on a daily basis right now when you can get it repaired at you know, a tenth the cost?
Yes.
And by, you know, maintaining a device you're familiar with and it can, you know, got a long life left on it yet.
And unless you're, you know, like in the Federal Reserve or a politician and you've got this inside track and all this money, you gotta save your money. So Just Wireless, thanks for sponsoring, guys, and folks, please support our sponsors. Rob, I got a question for you.
I got
a good one. And obviously Rob owns Timberline Firearms and Training, and
is this one of your surprise questions?
Yeah. That's not really a surprise. It's just a kind of a factoid. This is from Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. Women are nearly half of new gun buyers. Study finds that close to half of all new U.S. gun buyers since the beginning of 2019 have been women. Is that true?
That's true news? Has been our experience here in Flagstaff. Yeah, there's the totals now since the COVID thing hit in January are around 11 million now new firearms owners. Wow. It's an interesting stat because it's taken all the steam out of the anti-gun lobbyists because a lot of people that used to be anti-firearm have now switched over, and they know a lot of people that are used to be anti-firearm. So you haven't heard anything at all about gun control,
have you? That's the truth. I mean, you and I spend a lot of time for many years talking about gun control and all the people pushing. It has been very quiet recently.
Surprise.
Yeah. What's all the new buyers? I mean, why are new buyers and why are so many women buying firearms in your, I don't know, anecdotal evidence here? What are you hearing?
In our experience, what we're seeing is women are recognizing that things, you know, systems and agencies and things they thought they could count on before for defense.
Like the Federal Reserve.
Personal, for their personal protection. I'm talking more law enforcement, those kinds of things, are not going to be able to be as responsive as they thought. Last summer's riots, not this summer, but last summer, showed everybody that, hey, you know, sometimes it's just going to hit the fan and you're on your own. And a lot of people recognize that, and they said, you know, I want something that will at least give me an equal chance against an opponent. And the exciting thing for us is when we have someone come in, purchase a firearm for the first time after they found the right one for them, they walk out after some training feeling really empowered. Mm-hmm. A genuinely empowered woman is one that doesn't have to rely on someone else to defend her. So it's been really encouraging for us to see these folks learning about and having preconceived misconceptions proven wrong by finding out for themselves, you know, the facts and getting some hands-on experience.
Now that's really good. And I think it's also good. It's one thing I think about in our country with all the craziness, and I want everything to be peaceful.
Oh, sure.
And I've been calling for people to show up and start peacefully protesting, exercising their First Amendment rights. But the fact that we have a Second Amendment and that there's, 300 plus million firearms? How many firearms?
It's closer to 400 now.
400
the best
million.
Estimates are,
okay. So, I mean, the fact that so many people have this is a deterrent to tyranny to a degree. I don't know how much of a degree, but it's also a deterrent to crime. I mean, in Arizona, you know, if you're going to, if a criminal's saying, hey, I'm going to go bust through that window, they don't know. Whereas a gun control place and a place that's been traditionally nuts like Washington, D.C., well, chances are they don't have a gun.
Yeah, chances are here in Arizona, you probably got a better than 50-50 odds that the home you're breaking into has an armed person inside of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that certainly deters those folks. They're not there to get shot. They're there to try to do something easy and get away with something of value that they can then convert. So
I always remember a few years ago when the gun control push was extreme, there was people putting in their houses, this is a gun-free house, on a sign on the window, and it's like, wow, you know, that's good advertisement for someone to come break in.
And you know, unfortunately, it's those kinds of mindsets that really contribute to the downside of this. If you remember a few years back when there was a shooting on NAU's campus, they had a big study and all kinds of, you know, groups and things. And one of the things they suggested, because it's legal by Arizona state law for you to have a firearm in your vehicle on a college campus, you know, not in dorms, not in classrooms, but in your vehicle, they enacted a policy that they were going to designate specific parking areas for vehicles that had firearms.
Oh,
so they were going to put up a sign and say, this is where vehicles with firearms in them must park.
Break into this one. Big neon sign, basically, right?
And they actually officially did, they never actually put the signs up, but the policy exists. Wow. And they didn't see the problem with that. It just blows my mind that nobody would, well, wait a minute. What could be the unintended consequence, that thing that happens so often nowadays with all this.
Who comes up with this crap? I mean, there must be like cubicles of think tank things going on just to like, did these people ever get fired for stupid ideas?
Apparently not. They keep coming, don't they?
You know, unbelievable.
One hit after another.
Speaking of ideas that I guess don't seem to be working out too well here, there's the Four Fry project, which was, maybe give us a quick history on this. I remember this whole project. It's been going on for a while, but it was an effort to restore the forest to manageable and healthy levels, our national forest I'm talking.
Right. So what happened is, you know, over the last 100 years or so, Smokey the Bear convinced us to put out all these fires.
Yes.
And then we learned, oh gosh, Mother Nature actually had a plan.
Smokey
was wrong. We should put out the fires.
Put
we
out your
start.
Campfires. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We should put out the fires we start.
Yeah.
But the natural fires are a part of the natural ecosystem and have to occur to have a healthy forest. So we ended up with millions of acres of forests that are unnaturally unhealthy because of our behaviors. And so the Four Fry, the Four Forest Restoration, it's Kaibab, the Kaibab, Coconino, Apache, Sitka Graves, and Tonto Forests, 2.4 million acres were supposed to be treated as part of this effort. And by treated, I mean thinned.
Yeah.
Because we, by putting those fires out, we allowed the forest to get way too dense. There's hundreds more trees per acre than there should be in a healthy forest.
You got those little twigs coming up and in bunches.
Which fires start on the, a normal healthy ponderosa forest has fires on a regular basis that go through on the ground level and clean that up.
Yep.
But they don't get up into the crowns. When you start putting out all these fires and you let those little trees become ladders up into the crowns of the trees, then when those fires move through the forest, they take everything out, like we see in these catastrophic fires like the museum and the Schultz and those.
Yep.
So 2010 was when this project started. That was phase one. They've invested it's around $40 million a year, I think, is the overall program numbers. That all that doesn't come here, but lots and lots of money in this process. Of the, I guess, 500,000 acres that they were supposed to have been done by now, it's like 50,000. It's a minuscule percentage.
50,000 out of 100, what'd you say?
Out of 500,000.
Yeah.
So a tenth.
Yeah, okay. Nothing.
And phase two, that was phase one.
The crap's probably already grown back in other areas to account for what they took out. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Yeah.
So that was phase one. Phase one has gone miserably. And the principle behind this process was the somehow or another, the Forest Service was going to encourage commercial forestry products companies to come in and harvest this stuff and make a profit, enough of a profit off of it to make it worth it for them.
Okay.
So it was a win-win.
And it didn't make a profit off this stuff?
It doesn't, because the trees they let them cut are all the small stuff that doesn't translate well into saleable lumber.
So not even with, like, okay, you remember OSB popped up to 50, 60 bucks a sheet. I think it's down quite a bit more now. They couldn't even take that type of product and make it work.
You know,
they didn't have a factory or they didn't have a plant to process it, perhaps.
Yeah. You would think that was the case. Yeah. I'm not an expert in the wood processing finances.
Yeah, but imagine, like, okay, like 2x4. I was up in the Northwest and you know, the Montana and Wyoming and other areas.
Yep.
They've got such big timber there, and it grows much faster in these wetter areas. I imagine you need pretty big round ones to make 2x4s and 2x6s.
Yeah.
And we don't have that.
And that's not the kind of stuff that we're allowing to cut. We're trying to cut that newer growth stuff, which for the chipped products like OSB, things like that would probably work.
But you need a plant.
You need a plant.
Yeah.
They had built one, I think, in Winslow. And I think they've just built another one now over in Belmont near Camp Navajo. But it's just not it's not turning out to be financially viable.
Okay, so they pulled the plug.
Yep. And now here we are, all these millions of dollars into a very partial completion of phase one, and they're resetting on phase two, and they don't know what they're going to do.
Okay, because it failed.
We're going to leave ourselves vulnerable here to fires for the undetermined future as the bureaucracy of the federal government slowly crawls towards more waste.
Is it... More and more waste. Is it a legitimate complaint that the Forest Service is making in this case, saying, hey, it didn't work? Because I'm hearing complaints from Congressman Tom O'Halloran and Senator, who's the other one, Kelly, saying, oh, this is horrible. They pulled it. In your opinion, in your cursory glance at this, is the Forest Service using good due diligence at this point?
You know, in this case, I think they actually are.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think it's the Forest Service that's what's making it unprofitable in the first place. The rules, the regulations, the studies that have to be done, all the different stuff that goes into this made it unproductive from the beginning. It was never going to succeed in the first place. But it is interesting. You can make a good point. Even Governor Ducey has come out opposing this decision by the Forest Service. Yeah. So, look, we've united Democrats and Republicans on something that...
Hey, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. How often does that happen?
And perhaps because I have some criticisms. Look, I've met and gotten to know some of the local Forest Service folks that work it.
They're
good people.
Yeah.
I have a real problem with the bureaucracy and the fact that the D.C. paper pushers in their cubicle heaven don't know what they're doing out here. And they do stupid things. I mean, Rob, I came across another road this past weekend that has a stupid sign up. It's been a road that you've had access for forever.
Right.
And you can go back to there's a bunch of dead wood and I'm cutting firewood right now.
Sure.
It's road closed for soil preservation. I'm like, just give me a break. So they're doing things like that to prevent people from actually going in there and harvesting it for private use.
Yeah, I was researching this project a little bit and I got some numbers. This is from 2017. But they were looking at the annual full-time employment that these projects provide because, of course, we're providing jobs. Yeah. Even if we're failing at our mission, we're providing jobs. That's kind of the argument we hear all the time. And so they broke it out. There was 222 people actually in the forest doing thinning. There were 30 people doing other contracted restoration. And there were 258 people, so an equal number of people, U.S. Forest Service in-house restoration stuff.
Thinking.
Yeah.
So half the people were thinking crap up. Basically.
Yep. Okay. The people out in the field made up less than half of the whole process.
All right.
And then I'm gonna blame it on you, Jeff.
Hey, blame it on me when we come back.
All right.
Hold that thought.
I'm gonna blame Rob's Jeff when we get back.
Is this something from my political days?
It is.
Well, you helped me get in office.
Gosh, the regrets I know.
Yeah, okay. Rob's got the it's my fault thing when we come back. And folks, sponsor for this segment of the show is Desert Gold Exchange. If investing in gold is new to you, I want you to call Desert Gold Exchange for a free investor's kit. Just mention that you heard it here on the show. And you can also discuss if you want to get some gold delivered to you. They can get it in as little as 72 hours, but that's not free. You got to pay for that. But call my friends at Desert Gold Exchange. I can also talk about IRAs and 401ks and things like that. They'll fill you in on all the knowledgeable stuff you need to know and see if gold, if investing in gold and silver and precious metals is right for you. Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343, 888-852-4343. That's 888-852-4343. Rob will share what I did wrong when we come back. Hang tight. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horowitz Show. Listening to The Jeff Horowitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, Home Co. Lumber and Hardware on Butler Avenue in Flagstaff. You can get just about everything you need, and they have their great drive-through lumber yard, so you don't have to load that cart and kill the end caps in the store with the long 2x4s and the rebar, Rob.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Take out everybody's ankles in the store.
Yeah. So they've got they employ over 100 people in the Flagstaff area, so they've got great customer service. So if you're doing a project, check out my friends at Home Co. Lumber and Hardware on Butler Avenue in Flagstaff. Speaking of, I just side note here before we get to the thing that you say I did wrong or something. employing, you're a small business owner. I'm a small business owner. I think we have a business owner question here from a listener coming up. You don't have 100 employees.
I do not.
But if you had 101 with Biden's mandates, I mean, a lot of businesses might be thinking, whew, I think I need to get to 99.
Yep.
But you're not safe anymore because you don't know what the next mandate could be. It could be 75. It could be 50. If for anything. They could basically say and do whatever they want nowadays, it seems.
Once the precedent is set, once we accept that, if we don't actively engage and say that's not constitutional, that's not legal, we're not going to put up with that, we're certainly not going to reelect people that support it, then we're going to lose.
I told people, look, a lot of people didn't want to come to my defense as a landlord because I'm an evil landlord, right? Evil, and I'm talking about the eviction moratorium. Yep. I said, this is, if they can do this, they can do anything to you.
Yep.
And look.
Here you go.
Here you go. When are you going to stand up? Because if they can do this, they'll do something. Look, I'm glad that Attorney General Brnovich is suing, and now a bunch of other states are signing on saying they're going to sue if Biden doesn't back off. He won't back off. And you're going to have to fight this in court. But the business owner gets just shafted in the process.
And, we've already accepted that they've told us you have to wear a mask to be on an airplane.
Yeah.
I had to work for a Navy contract up in Seattle.
Did you fly recently?
Flew up there 2 weeks ago and back. Everybody's got to wear a mask. Well, the next step is let's see your vaccine card before you get on this plane, right?
Well, you got to do that in LA County now, 10 million people.
You do.
Yeah. And, or to go to a restaurant, to go to indoor events.
Yeah. So the next thing will be if you want to go into a federal building, if you want to go on an airplane, if you want to, they can start saying we want to see your vaccine papers.
Or whatever. Even if we don't even have to make it a vaccine issue, it could be insert anything. If they have the power over what you put in your body, they have the power over anything over you. Or maybe they're not going to force you to do something. You just have to sit at home. You won't be able to go anywhere.
What's that social wellness score or whatever it was they were talking about?
Oh, like the social credit score?
Social credit score, yeah. Where, you know, are you doing enough good things for the world?
In their eyes.
Yeah, in their eyes. And if your number isn't high enough, then you're not going to be allowed to do something.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty much what it is. Okay, what's your item that you're back to the thinning issues with the force?
Yeah, I think most folks here know that a while back you were on the Flagstaff City Council.
Yeah.
And while you were there, there was a bond issue presented by the city council to the electorate for $10 million.
Yes.
He said, for $10 million, we promise.
They promised.
That we will, that we're going to clean up all of the forests necessary to protect the watershed, the water supply around Flagstaff.
Yeah.
So Mormon Mountain and a few other places, we have to cut all these trees down. And for $10 million, we can guarantee you, citizens of Flagstaff, you'll continue to have fresh drinking water. Well, guess what? They burned through the $10 million. Mm-hmm. They completed about 40% of it, all of the least expensive effort. They've got 60% left, and it's all helicopter logging.
Expensive, then.
Oh, boy, is it expensive.
Okay. So you can imagine
what it costs per hour to have a helicopter hovering overhead picking up trees.
Yeah, and talk about a dangerous, one of the most dangerous jobs there.
Yeah.
And for people in the helicopter and on the ground.
Yeah, and all the fuel it's burning and everything else.
Okay, so what's your problem? I wasn't
under your watch, wasn't it?
Well, but it didn't start until after I left, I think. So I was gonna offer to take my chainsaw up there and do half the work myself to make this thing happen.
You know, why doesn't the Forest Service go out there and mark trees that could be cut for those folks that want to have firewood?
Oh, because, Rob, if you drive back there anywhere off the designated roads because of the travel management plan, then you may destroy the soil and native vegetation. And this is DC think tank crap. That's all it is. You can't go in there, and you can only harvest firewood along the, unless you want to walk and carry a big log out, or you've got horses and borrow your horse and take it back there. They're so worried about the native vegetation, which is just a bunch of BS. They should allow us. Look, they have the permits, the firewood permits, right? And we know that there's people out there. You see them with the big trucks full of firewood selling the stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not supposed to do that. Why not? Why don't they have a commercial permit for these folks to go in there and sell people firewood at $250 a quart or whatever the heck they're selling nowadays?
Yeah, they get a permit. Just, you know, we have a hunter safety course, right?
Yeah.
How about a firewood harvesting course?
Yeah.
A one-day course that you have to pass. You have to have the card. Mm-hmm. And then you're certified to go in there and harvest trees that are marked by the Forest Service. Doesn't cost them anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start at that urban interface and start working your way back into the forest. So we're protecting things.
Nope. You can't do
too
it because it's
there, right?
It's not a, well, what was that number you gave on the 4-5 project? It isn't a 2-to-1 ratio or 1-to-1 ratio on management
versus
people actually doing something.
Yeah.
We could probably fire half or 90% of the paper pushers in this country. You know, anytime that the government shuts down, the federal government shuts down and they say you're not essential. We need, we need our soldiers to continue working. We need the law enforcement, this and that, FBI. But all the paper pushers get sent home. It's like, just don't have them come back.
I mean, I think we would be way better off at some point.
Okay, I want to address a comment. We've got so much to get to, Rob, but I want to address a comment that came in. Let me find it here. It came in during the show yesterday. And what I've started doing, okay, you've been around for, and you've hosted the show too, where you have live listener comments come in, people are calling. And sometimes it's hard because you're fielding these comments and you're trying to react.
Live,
yeah. Yeah, and so we also do that with the text comments. So what I've been doing lately is we get text comments throughout the show, and pretty much in order, I then get them, and then the last segment I've been reading them, right?
Nice.
I think it's good because I want to hear from people.
Yeah.
But they're not screened really, other than look over them real quick, profanities, and is somebody a super tinfoil hat type thing, and you're like, oh my God, this one is just so bizarre. And even some of those are kind of fun to read as well. And if you want to send a text, 877-971-3971. But I got one yesterday from Jeff from Flagstaff, a veteran.
Uh-huh.
And I want to, before I read his comment, say, what he sent in wound up not being accurate, and I read it on air. Uh-huh. And I say that in advance. And he texted me after the show, and he's like, God, I feel really bad. I kind of got taken by this fake news site. And I was like, oh, at least he sent
not
that
the
in.
First
it wasn't,
one.
Yeah, it wasn't intentional. And when I read it, I'm like, huh, this is coming from a veteran. And, you know, he's like, he was really concerned. So he wrote this: I'm a U.S. Army veteran, and I have always tried to have jobs that provided good health insurance for myself and my family. In the past few years, I decided to go into business for myself, and now I don't have company provided health care. So I've enrolled in the Veterans Administration healthcare program, and now I am being told that my healthcare will be terminated if I don't get vaccinated. That's not the case. That's not true. And Jeff knows this now as well. And another veteran also emailed me last night and said, I've been looking everywhere for this information and I can't find it. So we actually found where it came from. It came from a site called Delaware, Ohio News. And you go to this article and totally looks like a real news
legit
site.
Kind of.
Yeah. And you read this whole article about unvaccinated won't be able to get veterans benefits. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's so real looking. Eventually, they have a disclaimer that says everything on this page is not true. But it's like, you know, just
buried deep down there. And right? It's a 0.8 pitch font. And
but it caught so many people's attention that the press secretary for the Department of Veterans Affairs had to address it and say that it's not true. Biden is not withholding, and the VA and all that is not withholding benefits to veterans who mm-hmm. are unvaccinated.
Right.
So I wanted to straighten that out. And we're going to continue. I guess when I get texts like that, we're going to look into this, but it's hard when they're coming in really fast.
Well, and like attaboy to you, Jeff, for actually making the correction and doing it publicly and it during a period of time when people are listening.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to a lot of the newspapers and things.
A correction that's done. Yeah.
The last page of the paper six weeks later in tiny font and whatever. But the moral of the story here, obviously, is don't believe everything you read.
Yeah.
And unless you can find the original source.
Well, exactly.
And these sites are deliberately manipulating us. And even the best in the business, I mean, Rachel Maddow went live with her show.
She the best.
Well, I'm
she has a bigger staff than mine.
She's got a staff that should have known better. Yeah. But she went live with a story a couple of weeks ago about how everybody was overdosing on this horse medicine because
the ivermectin thing.
Yeah, somebody said it was going to protect him from. Turns out it wasn't true at all.
Yeah,
it was from one doctor in one location.
I saw that the doctor was totally bogus.
And yes,
he made it up. Yeah, our hospital's being overrun with ivermectin overdoses, and they said there was, I think, zero.
Yes, yeah. he said people with gunshot wounds are having to wait while we.
This
treat
was a
these.
Joe Rogan after Joe Rogan. Yeah, yep. Thing. Who's better in 2 days? By the way, I should add. Do you have ivermectin for your horses? Is that
we do?
Oh, yeah. Is there? Okay, we'll talk about that later. Now
for our horses.
okay. For your horses, people. No medical advice.
Absolutely not.
And it's not even that. Back to that issue that I was that I picked the story and said this. This is just reading comments. We get them all the time where we get comments and someone says, I have one right here where I don't know if the numbers are right or not.
Sure.
But we like to share everyone's comments. But I think what Rob is saying is, double check your sources and look for. Before you send it over, if we ever do a news story where I have people call me all the time and say, hey, I was just told this, this, and this, I want to come on the show. And I'm like, well, yeah, wait a second. We got to verify that versus when we just open up the lines, and do that. So there you go. And one more thing, Rob, I think that the problem we have now is this very well could be true.
Unfortunately, we believe it.
Yeah. Well, it's not even that. If Biden said that unvaccinated people can't get medical care, would you really be that surprised?
Unfortunately, no.
No. If I told you a year ago that Biden was going to issue a mandate saying that 100 million people have to get vaccinated by order of the government, or as I call him, Emperor Palpatine, or that if you're a business owner and you have 100 employees, you're forced to get these folks vaccinated, or they have to get tested weekly, or you got to fire them. You'd be like, "Oh, fake news, Rob."
Not going to happen. That can't happen.
Yeah. So
not
that's
in this country.
That's the problem right now. Is the unbelievable is certainly believable, and what's real is become unbelievable. We can't even fathom what's happening.
Oh, you mean like when the President of the United States says, in response to the 13 U.S. service members that were killed, we just did a drone strike and took out a. a terrorist that was in an immediate threat to everyone there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that.
So right when...
when the president of the United States says that?
The country collapses in Afghanistan and people are getting out and we finally get folks out, but we don't think we got them all out. And that's that horrible stain on this president for what he did in Afghanistan. And then they have this strike where they tout that ISIS-K members were killed in August from a drone strike. Mm-hmm. Nope. What's Fox News saying here? They're saying that it was up to 10 civilians.
Including a bunch of kids.
Bunch of kids got killed, and as far as they can tell, no ISIS-K members were killed in Kabul drone strike in on August 29th, which led to multiple civilian casualties. So these people are so brazenly incompetent.
This is 2 or 3 weeks later.
They knew. They knew pretty quick, I'm sure.
They knew within an hour or two.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But they let it ride out that they got ISIS-K, you know, because they had such egg on their face for the disaster in the Afghanistan.
So rather than coming out and admitting their mistake, just like, you know.
Really my mistake. No, okay, I'll admit that, hey, this guy was wrong and that we read it.
Sure.
But, okay.
But they sit on it for weeks. It's good.
You still want me to admit the mistake issue. I know. You're still on that.
On Friday afternoon... Coincidentally,
yeah.
That, you know, if here's
Friday afternoon, which is known as the big heavy news day.
Yeah, here's a pro tip for all you folks that are kind of not really paying attention to the news. Watch what happens in Washington D.C. on Friday afternoon.
Yeah,
because that's the stuff they have to eventually put out.
Yeah,
but they don't want anybody to see.
Bury it, because by the time the weekend's done and you got the games, it's old news, and you got new news, it's old news by Monday. Which
so
is
between
when
noon
attention.
And 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon in Washington D.C. That's when all the really dirty.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, you are 100% right. All right, Rob, we've got a bunch more, and we're not making it too heavy through the pile here, but we will. We'll continue on here in just a second. Sponsor, Crazy Country Boys Services. I've been telling you about how to save on your auto repair and maintenance by going to Crazy Country Boys Services, where you're going to get really great quality auto repair and services at a fair price. Backed by CarQuest. Plus, you'll only be charged for the parts and services you actually do need. Don't overpay. Give Jim a call at Crazy Country Boys Services, 928-607-9753. That's 928-607-9753. Or go to crazycountryboysservices.com. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome back. Rob Wilson is here with me. And Rob, the real estate market is still crazy.
It sure is.
It's still crazy. And that's why I want you to call my friend Kelly Broaddus at Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors. If you're thinking about listing in this red hot market, or if you're thinking about getting on this roller coaster ride, she'll help you figure out how to buy a home as well. Call Kelly Broaddus at Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors, 928-606-6749, or visit NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. So Rob Wilson is with me, Timberline Firearms and Training. And hey, what's the... I'm thinking about doing this in October, the Stop the Bleed. I've been reading about that course you got coming up. Is that like field medical? Tell me what that is real quick.
It's a free class. We do it every month.
Oh, it's free?
Yeah, it is. Oh, wow. Even better. How can you beat that, right?
I've been telling people they got to go pay you for that.
No, so. This one will give you for free.
You'll take donations. Or you can buy a nice gun.
Yeah, we've got lots of other things you can look at. Anyway, it's really important. I know when I grew up, tourniquets were always considered to be, you know, kind of the last resort. You never wanted to use a tourniquet because it ultimately would result in the loss of a limb.
Oh.
So nothing, you know, until everything else failed, you never did a tourniquet. Well, the American College of Physicians and Surgeons got together and they thought about it for a minute and they said, you know what, if there's no blood in your body, it doesn't really matter what else you do.
Yeah.
So we really ought to stop that bleeding. So the whole philosophy has changed now. And tourniquets are oftentimes something you want to do immediately.
Okay.
And so this course is taught by folks from Northern Arizona Healthcare, and it's a 2-hour long course that teaches you to recognize when that's necessary and exactly the right way to apply a tourniquet or to use some other methods to be able to control severe bleeding.
Oh, wow.
It's not just for folks that are in firearms. It's also for anybody that's outdoors. It could be a car accident. We had somebody who came and attended it because their husband had recently almost cut his leg off with a chainsaw.
Well, I was just thinking that. I go out and cut firewood. We've been talking about clearing the forest. And typically where we go out, there's no cell service.
Do you have a tourniquet with you? A first aid kit at all?
Well, I have a first aid kit, but I mean...
It's got Band-Aids?
Yeah, crazy glue count. Can you use that? We did crazy glue our dog once.
Yeah,
they did. Yeah, it's like she got barbed wire like on her stomach, and we crazy glued it, and it worked. It was like a temporary type fix, I think. Right? Yeah. Or maybe it was permanent. I can't remember. We might put a cone on her afterwards or something like that. I'm gonna have to come to that one. How many people? I mean, should I?
25 people. We can take the class we did every month.
Yeah, that might be. I might want to bring someone who's going with me though. Cutting firewood, because can you do a tourniquet? I guess you can do it on yourself.
Yeah, we teach both how to apply it to yourself and how to apply it to someone else. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it is an important skill to know on your own.
It is. Yeah, this is should be basic stuff, I guess.
It is.
Yeah,
yep.
Okay. So learn some stuff, folks. And okay, I'm looking at this picture. This is the mass of people that we were talking about with Attorney General Mark Brnovich yesterday on the program.
Uh-huh.
Under this bridge in Texas.
Which I've never understood anyway. When did a bridge become an acceptable way to provide shelter to people while we process them?
It's not, because there's so many. I wish you could see this picture, folks. There's so many people here. It's estimated at 8,000 people. They don't fit under this bridge.
No.
They're all over the place. And Fox News had a drone up there trying to get a shot of all these illegal immigrants
right.
that are coming in, or aliens, or whatever you want to call them. And the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, Thursday night said, hey, we're putting a 2-week flight restriction along the bridge. To stop people from showing a picture of how that we don't have a border anymore?
Well,
I mean, what was the reason?
So they issued a temporary flight restriction, which is what they do. They do it for airports when the president's going to fly in or something like that.
Okay, or 8,000 illegals are going to come in. Yeah, things like that. Okay.
Yeah, so their initial argument is that the CBB wanted to use drones to better patrol the border, and they didn't want other drones in the way, so they were issuing this flight restriction. That's pure BS. The two drones weren't going to interfere with each other.
Yeah.
And it really does come down to the fact that this is an egg on the face of the administration. When
again,
they got 8,000 people not able to process them through, they're all out in being exposed to the environment and everything else. I don't know if you saw the stats, but last month, again, we exceeded 200,000 people that crossed our border and were processed through our system. Those are the ones that we caught. So we are on pace to exceed the population of the state of New Mexico in immigrants this year. The population of the state of New Mexico is a little over 2 million people. We're going to have more than that come into the country across the Mexican border this year alone.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I think they just don't want this seen, you know, obviously,
right.
because you don't want the egg on the face. But, Rob, I'm thinking about this, and let me see if I can not get myself in...
trouble.
Lovely emails here. I didn't really care, but whatever. It used to be people came across the border illegally, and I'm not for that, obviously. You know
right.
me. But what would happen is you would quickly disperse so you weren't captured.
Sure.
And now the attitude is, hey, we're waiting for them to come get us.
Right.
I don't get it because, I don't want illegal immigration. I want them to come through the illegal process, but there was a time period where they came over illegally and they quickly dissolved into the country, disbanded into the country, and they went and they'd get jobs. They were out there working. I don't know. Now, I'm not saying all of them, but they wouldn't hang out under the bridge waiting to be captured. What the heck?
So the difference now is back then. You're right. They would get as far north of the border as quickly as possible because they knew that their chances of being caught and sent back were greater the closer they were to the border. And then when they got away from the border, they had to provide for themselves. There weren't social programs. There weren't free government giveaways.
Yeah.
Now, they stand at the, they, you know, step across the border and say, arrest me, because, okay, I'm going to be housed, I'm going to be clothed, I'm going to be educated, I'm going to be, I'm going to get free medical care. And, oh, by the way, eventually they're going to put me on a plane or a bus and send me wherever I say I have relatives in the country so I can go get social services there.
Wow.
So they're understanding how to work the system. And an interesting thing about those 8,000 people you just mentioned, according to the latest stats, the majority of those are Haitians.
How do they even know? They just got, I mean, people going down there surveying
them? That was information released by the people that are processing them. So
okay, let me just do some.
How all these Haitians are first getting to Mexico to then be able to come across the border, I don't know. But it points out to you just how messed up this whole immigration policy and border process is when the majority of the people coming across the Mexico-United States border are Haitians.
Man, look at that water there in Haiti. I pulled up, typed in Haiti. Haiti is a failed state. It's one of the poorest nations in the world. It's also, they have no industry. It's corrupt. They've had the earthquakes that have happened. It's run by gangs.
They've had the worst luck lately, too.
Well, yeah. But it's interesting because Dominican Republic, so we've got the map of Haiti up, and, you know, it's kind of to the east of Jamaica, and Dominican Republic's on the same island. Yep. And Dominican Republic is fairly prosperous. There's people that tourism and things like that, and Haiti is a failed state. Anyway, I pulled up this map because, Rob, that's... You if you go due east from Haiti, I'm sorry, due west, you would run into like Guatemala or the Yucatan Peninsula, like Cozumel or something.
Yep.
So what are they doing? Are they floating across and coming up through Mexico? I mean, they're obviously not taking a plane or a train.
Could be taking a plane. We don't know.
Oh, they could be popping into Mexico maybe, or
who
into
knows
Guatemala
how they're getting to Mexico.
But anyway, the bottom line is they're using the southern border, the land.
And remember, these are supposed to be people that are fleeing oppression, that are living in an unsafe place, all these other problems.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. I don't even know how we let this happen. I think that, look, you don't get the drone up there to show this, but most people don't see it anyway because they're overwhelmed with all the news items, with everything's going on that's going on. So they're like, not my problem. Not my problem.
And it's inexcusable if the Democrats don't fix this problem because they've got all the power in the world to overhaul our immigration policy right now.
Yeah.
Step up and do it.
Yeah, they're not going to do it. All right, next hour, Rob's going to stick around. We haven't gotten through much, so we'll continue on into the next hour. I do have a listener comment and question about about buying homes and things like that. So it ties in well with my sponsor here, Nova Home Loans. And I'm trying to get Kim Dawson on next week to talk about interest rates and things like that. But Nova Home Loans, if you miss this chance to refinance your current mortgage, you may be kicking yourself down the road because rates are really super low. And Kim Dawson of Nova Home Loans, she can help you out. She grew up here, understands this market. Call the girl who gets it done and start saving before interest rates move up. 928-310-6458. Nova Home Loans, 928-310-6458, and NMLS 3087, subject to credit approval and some restrictions may apply. All right, Rob, you're sticking around.
Yep.
We got a lot more to hit, including some of your comments. You can get text comments in that we'll read on this show or a future show by texting the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. And please subscribe to the podcast. It's real easy. It's been growing tremendously. Just look up Talk With Jeff. All one word on your favorite podcast provider. Hang tight, back in a few minutes.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, fences going up around the Capitol, and are you ready for your third shot? We'll find out about that. Another hour of the show starts now. All right, welcome. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horowitz here. Happy to be here with you for another hour. And Rob Wilson from Timberline Firearms and Training is with me. We're only going to do an hour, but we didn't get through it. Normally on a Friday, I get lazy towards the 5 o'clock hour, and I'm like, hey, did you hear this interview? I do have a good interview with Attorney General Brnovich, though, if you didn't hear that. on yesterday's program. It's in the podcast. Yeah. Okay, you've got a PSA. Let's get that out because we'll run out of time and never get to it.
Yeah. If you happen to live in the Doney Park, Timberline, or Ferdinand area, we're going to be reviewing the area plan at an open house on September 28th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Cromer School. So important document for you to review. It's what drives all the planning and zoning decisions. Doney Park, Timberline, Fernwood area plan, September 28th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Cromer School.
Is that like, the regional plan, that's like the city plans, that's like supposed to guide the growth.
Yep, exactly.
And plans for whatever.
Yep, so if you live in Doney and want to keep a Doney, you want to come to this meeting.
And full disclosure, I mean, you're not here as that member, but you're on that board.
I co-chair the committee that, has generated the plan, and that's why we want to hear your inputs. We want to make sure we did what you want.
Are people showing up to, are you... was this virtual or are you guys like in meetings?
We were both. Yeah, we started this, a year and a half ago. So
yeah, then we had virtual. Meetings.
And, yeah.
Now in person?
This open house is in person. Yep.
Okay, good. I just want to get back to that more.
So do I.
It disturbs me how many meetings still. I think most have gotten back. I even see like the Flagstaff City Council, they've gotten back. They have like bubble pods.
But there's a HiPod. hybrid.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think they're pretty much back though, but we need to get back to governance in person, not virtual governance. It has not been good.
No, it has not. It has been good for our country.
Yeah. All right. We got a bunch to get to. Sponsor for this segment of the show, the Blind Brothers. And when you call the Blind Brothers for blinds, shutters, or shades, you're going to work directly with them. And 3 decades of combined experience, never with subcontractors. And right now, my listeners get half off installation. You just got to mention you heard it on the show. Also, you get any additional other advertised specials as well. So 928, give them a call. Blind Brothers, 928-634-2423. 928-634-2423. Or you can go to theblindbrothers.com. Let me throw one at you that we did not discuss prior to the show.
All right.
Like this isn't a firearms one, but this is an article that the Arizona Daily Sun did. I've had this all week and haven't gotten to it, about Congressman Tom O'Halloran, Democrat, which he represents CD1, mm-hmm. that he was regularly late paying property taxes. Arizona Daily Sun says county property tax 15 out of 16 years late during a stretch that began in the mid-90s, paid up to $11,000 in late fees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It looks like he's up to date now. I only point this out because I find it weird that this paper decided to run this article now.
Yeah, what? There's some reason.
I don't need the tinfoil hat, but...
they chose to run this article.
It's just like, it's we're talking... he should have paid his property taxes. But then again, I think property taxes are one of the most regressive things. But if you're a politician and you don't pay your property tax, I remember we had a former mayor that had some issues with that. Yeah. But anyway.
I remember that too.
I remember that too. But he eventually paid all the taxes. And for this 2 Sedona area properties, I'm talking about Congressman Tom O'Halloran. But it's like we're talking 11, 12 years ago, and now there's an election coming up and a primary. It just seems really weird that they would pick.
Is the Daily Sun already
picking
their favorites?
No, I'm just saying.
Are they trying to influence the vote?
No, I don't think that would be the case. It's just weird. I mean, why wasn't this run when he was first running against other people? I don't know. Yeah. Remember, didn't he run against Eva Putsova last time in that primary?
He did.
Far left.
He did.
Yeah. I wonder if anyone's going to challenge him. We'll see. I don't start rumor mills or anything.
Well, I think she got about 30% of the vote.
Thought it was more like in the primary squad. She wanted to be a member of the squad.
Yep.
She was on the city council. I actually served with her in Flagstaff. That was fun. And she ran in the primary against O'Halloran last election cycle. And she got like 40-ish percent.
42, 43.
Yeah. And it was not enough, but wow. Against an incumbent, and she's that far left. And, you know, I don't know much about O'Halloran. I kind of call him a unicorn because I never see the guy. Nope. It's like mythical.
You don't hear about him.
No,
you don't see
nothing.
Him. Well, what is he doing for us?
Yeah, nothing. And we'll see if there's a...
collecting a paycheck.
I know there's several people on the Republican side lining up once again, and there's redistricting, which you've followed
a
lot.
Yep.
Do you think the lines are going to get shifted?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Enough to change CD1?
I think there's a good chance. CD1 is recognized nationally as what a congressional district should not be. It's a poster child for what you shouldn't have for a district. So of all the districts here in Arizona, CD1 is the most likely to be changed the most.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how they change
interesting
it.
To see, yeah.
Yeah.
Does it go, because right now it's kind of even, it leans a little more Democrat, I think.
Does, yeah.
So, and that's why O'Halloran's been in there, and was it Kirkpatrick before him, right? Am I right?
Well, no, but we also had
well, we had Gosar.
Renzi and Gosar.
Yeah, but that was before redistricting, right. And Gosar then went to CD4. All they've got to probably do if the Republicans really wanted CD1 is you just like add Kingman. And maybe, you know what, Cotton, it's weird. Cottonwood, and I was down
it's
there.
It's cut out of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I was speaking to the Mingus Mountain Republican Club earlier this week in Cottonwood. Camp Verde is CD1, which is Democrat Tom O'Halloran. Cottonwood is CD4, which is Congressman Paul Gosar.
Yep.
And Gosar wins that district. That's a very conservative CD4. They could easily carve out Cottonwood and like Kingman, and then all of a sudden it becomes a Republican district.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
The Democrats apparently are pretty concerned because I've seen quite a bit of noise lately about them and the redistricting commission saying that it's already stacked against them and it's not looking good. And in fact, yesterday they released a new study they paid to have done, and unfortunately brought me up again.
In what way?
Because I was trying to
you
be
were the finalist, one of the finalists for the chair, of the redistricting committee,
right.
Commission.
Yeah, and so I got dragged through the mud again in their latest study.
Gun owner Rob Wilson,
gun store owner Rob Wilson, inherently.
And then you're trying to help people. You offer a free course coming up in October for the Stop the Bleed with the tourniquets and stuff. Yep. You know, but I guess that doesn't count.
Nope.
That's okay.
Yeah,
that's
okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Okay, fences. You want to start with that one?
Sure.
So why are the fences going up around the Capitol again? I'm a little confused because Nancy Pelosi is all about, you know, we got the border surge we talked about last hour with the 8,000 people under the bridge or around the bridge. And, you know, basically we have no border anymore. But in D.C., they're very much into fences. What's going on?
Yeah. Starting, I guess, last night. The Washington, D.C. Police Department has instituted a new plan, and they're re-erecting all the fences they had just recently taken down because there's a protest planned this weekend in support of the folks that are being charged in the January 6th event from this last year.
Okay.
So all these huge steel fences are going back up again. And for those of you that don't know, the security of the Capitol grounds is the responsibility of the Speaker of the House.
Okay. And the Capitol Police, so how do they play into that?
The Capitol Police
But she's in charge. She
work for, with basically, the
Pelosi?
The Speaker of the House, yes.
Oh, man. That's
so
rough.
The failure on January 6th, if someone ultimately is at the top of the chain of who's responsible for that,
Pelosi
would have to be the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. And apparently she's taking no chances this time because, you know, gosh, who knows how much it costs, but these are big, heavy steel fences.
Yeah.
And I'm betting there's going to be a couple of thousand people show up and there's going to be absolutely no issue whatsoever.
Yeah, it'd be hard to believe that the January 6th could happen again, but I never want to defend Pelosi, but she's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, because if she doesn't erect something and something did happen, I mean, but she's basically, she wants to make this a big play.
Yeah.
That, oh, these protesters are coming back. And
She has to have something evil for us to fear.
Yeah.
And so she's making this evil and making this big fence and making it look like, oh my God, this is how terrible they are that we have to fence off the Capitol.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would ask elected members of our, you know, our political class, if you have to fence yourself off from the people that you're supposed to be representing,
there's a problem.
Maybe you should ask yourself why.
Yeah. Yeah. They want to keep all of us out. Maybe when they're done with this, she can truck down the fencing to the border.
What a concept.
Yeah. I mean, that would be
fill some of those holes that they.
Yeah. Now I wonder if the 8,000 people that are under the bridge and around the bridge at the border, if they decided to march to D.C., would they put up the fencing?
I don't know.
Or and, they,
you know, those folks, they're not actually on the border. That's in Houston.
That's what I meant. They already crossed.
Yeah,
they crossed they're waiting to
well
be
north of the border.
Yeah.
They've already been moved up to Houston and they're just hanging out there waiting to get moved someplace else, I guess.
Yeah. Man, a little hypocrisy for you, but that's the way. Yeah, never. CDC. Was that today?
That was today. That was this afternoon, I think.
I didn't pay much attention to that one. Do you have some info? This is on the booster shots for, well, there's what, three vaccines? One, the Pfizer one supposedly has been approved by the FDA. The other two are still in the emergency authorization. Yeah. The Johnson & Johnson and Moderna.
Moderna
and Pfizer are the two. What they were doing was the two. I think it was you got one and then you got the other one 2 or 3 weeks later, something like that. And, and then the Johnson & Johnson was a single shot.
Correct.
So the big talk recently has been get the booster. You got to get the booster because of the waning efficacy, the waning protection of the vaccines.
Yeah, the vaccines are only working for a short period of time is what we've been being told for the last several weeks.
Yes.
And Dr. Fauci is all concerned about, oh my gosh, you're not going to have the adequate resistance to this virus, and so we're going to have to do these booster shots. And so I think part of this is, the more confused they keep everybody on everything,
the
more they get away with.
Yeah.
But today at the CDC, they had a vote. And apparently there were 60 plus some scientists and doctors and whatever that all get together and vote on what the right thing to do next is.
So voting for science, basically?
Yeah, because, science.
That requires a vote. Well, first of all, 60?
Yeah, 60 that's plus,
like,
yeah.
Wow, that's like a little mini Congress there.
Yeah, and the question was, should we or should we not be giving these third jabs? And the result of the vote was something like, 60 said no and 3 said yes.
So no on the booster shot. But then Biden was really pushing, hey, we gotta get the boosters going.
Oh, yeah.
So now he's at odds with his CDC folks.
With science.
So he could just, he's Emperor Palpatine. He could just order an edict and say, you will.
Oh, yeah.
You will get the booster shot now. I have heard, and I need to get a doctor on. I am not a doctor.
No.
Luckily.
Don't give any medical advice.
Scientists don't give medical advice, financial advice, or anything like that. But I have heard that people are saying now in the two-shot series, like the Moderna one or whatever, they were saying, we'll take the first one, and some are arguing that that second one should be a lot later because of the waning.
Yeah. To maintain protection. The efficacy for a longer period of time.
Yeah. Right. So it is amazing, though. One thing I just can't compute, Rob, is the narrative that's, and we look back at Labor Day, and from last Labor Day when there was no vaccine available to this Labor Day, cases shot up 300%. And we had, top of my head, 53% at the time fully vaccinated, 63% with at least one shot, and then another 20%, so 83% had antibodies, whether through vaccination or natural occurrence. And by that, and I'm not a mathematician either, but I was like, 100 minus 83 is 17%. I'm like, wait a second. So 17% are responsible for all this?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
That's what they want us to believe.
Yeah, that's the narrative. And okay, let me believe the people that, and if you didn't hear last hour, the big ISIS-K strike that they said that they did in Afghanistan on August 29th, the drone strike that killed ISIS-K actually killed at least 10 civilians and didn't kill any ISIS-K. Yeah.
Actually, an aid worker working for a non-governmental agency providing aid.
Yeah. So, how do you believe these people? Oh, and then you've got what we started with last hour, the Federal Reserve, several members that are were buying assets that the Federal Reserve was also throwing money at. I mean, it's pumping that up. How does anybody with like two brain cells to rub together have any faith in this system anymore?
And I think that's the big problem right now. We've lost confidence and credibility in our elected officials, in the judicial branch, in the clergy, in
everything
that we have to rely on to have some faith in our society. We have lost confidence in.
We need to get that back. I don't know how you get back trust. How can I compare this? It's kind of like the cheating spouse type issue. How do you ever get back trust? How do you ever gain that trust back? How do I ever trust my government again when they're just lying and lying, or they're grossly incompetent over and over again? And even when it looks like, they're telling you the sky is blue and it's actually blue, you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about these people anymore. I think you got to start with people like Fauci, who half of America thinks is just great. And what was he, sexiest man alive or something? There's some crap like that.
No.
I mean, maybe that was one of those fake news sites.
I bet it was.
I hope
so. Quit reading the Onion.
Yeah. It was. Maybe that's what it was. But someone like Fauci, that half of us would be my guess, just so like, oh, every time you open your mouth, I can't stand it. I don't believe a word you're saying.
Right.
That guy, if he's all about science, he would leave that position and say, I am no longer what's best for this country, but his ego is too big and he loves being on CNN every weekend and MSN. He should resign, and we should get someone in there new. immediately to bring back confidence, or at least try to.
Yeah, because he's clearly not able to convey a message effectively to the people. And that's been my problem with all these government mandates in the first place, is you shouldn't have to mandate anything if it really makes sense. What you should have to do is educate people about why it really makes sense, and then let them make the right decision.
Yes.
If you have to mandate something, I'm suspicious right off the bat.
And if you have to block people who bring opposing thoughts so much and so clearly, then I'm really suspicious of you. And even, I don't know what, this is what my studio looks like at the end of the week. There's papers everywhere.
There is.
But there was a Bill Maher, the guy on, is it HBO?
Yeah.
The late night thing. You know, who has a lot of leftist ideas, but he's been speaking up on things. And he was on another talk show, I can't remember which, Kimmel maybe.
Yeah.
And he was saying that this government, they just scared the S out of everyone. And he can't sell tickets in the liberal states. He says he can't sell any tickets, but the red states, he's selling tickets because people are scared to death in the Californias and Washingtons and Oregons,
sure,
and wherever to go out. And the rest of us are all have been living our life pretty much. I think people would be shocked if they came to Arizona or Florida or Texas from most of these liberal states. I think they would.
Yeah, if you were living in L.A. right now and had to show a vaccine card to get into a restaurant.
And you come over here.
And then you come over here and it's like, wow, nobody's wearing masks. Everybody's just walking freely and living their lives. And you know what? I don't see anybody falling over dead on the street.
I get a kick out of when you see a California, you know, they're on tours. They're on tour. They're on vacation or whatever. They're in Arizona. And they all get out of the car outside and they're all masked up. And, you know, and you're like, You're in Arizona. Because they're used to it. They've been doing it over there for so long. And here it's, yes, you see the people driving down the road with the mask still. But generally, you're not seeing that. And generally outside, you're not seeing that in Arizona. But they come over here, they're like, it's beat into them.
You want to see live California entertainment? Watch when Californians walk into my gun store.
You have video of that?
I probably should.
Are they like masked up? Or are they like, nervous? No,
they're like in shock.
Oh, they're in shock.
Like, oh my gosh. Wow. Look at all of these firearms that you can legally purchase here in Arizona. And look, you know, people are openly carrying a firearm and nobody's being hurt. And, you know, they cannot believe how much different it is and how our you know, crime rates are... Firearms homicide rates aren't any different.
Yeah. The theme of the week for me has been where you live matters if you want freedom. And there's not many places you can go in the world, but there's still places within the U.S. and we have to protect places like Arizona and Florida and Texas and many others, the so-called red states, because that's our last stop for these lunatic tyrants that have taken over these other states. And we have to preserve that. And I hope that the people coming from California that are fleeing after this week, Newsom, I mean, come on, 2/3 of the people vote not to kick this guy out. How is that even possible? But I hope the people that are fleeing, as they should, leave that there and they come here for the right reasons.
And you know, once again, it goes back to the founders and how brilliant they were. They said the states have to maintain the control.
Yes.
The states have to have the authority and the power, not the federal government. And the more we can get back to that, the better we're going to be as a country.
Absolutely. Speaking of places to go, I think you're a big fan as well. I hope I'm not putting words in your mouth or pizza in your mouth. Namarco's Pizza.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah.
Our good friends at Namarco's Pizza, Dave and Tommy.
Yeah.
Local business owners. And Rob knows them, so there you go. Three locations in Flag. I usually get the wings and usually a pepperoni pizza, and they've got the great...
That's the standard, right?
Craft beers there. So Namarco's Pizza, three locations. You can dine in, which they can't do in California very easily, but here you can. They've got curbside pickup. They've also got delivery. Here's the number. Go ahead.
Oh, one other thing.
You want to go get some pizza?
I should go get some pizza, but make sure you look at the back of the pizza box. Every pizza box has a Target on the back.
Can you bring that into Timberline?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
So bring that Target box or the back of your box in,
so you can recycle it for Target practice.
That's pretty cool. That's how green Namarco's is. They're making sure that you can reuse a part of their pizza box.
I did not look at the back of the pizza box. I never have.
There you go.
I throw it in the recycle.
I didn't mean to add all this to your.
No, that's really cool. They have Targets on the back of their pizza box. Really cool. So anyway, you can order pizza. It is Friday night. So, or just go out, get a beer,
sure,
get some pizza. 928-779-0024, 928-779-0024, or Namarco's, NIM, namarcospizza.com. All right, Rob, we'll wrap up the week and maybe get through a little bit more of our pile when we come back. Hang tight, folks. Back in a minute. Hey!
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, if investing in gold is new to you, I want you to call Desert Gold Exchange for a free investor's kit. Just mention the show. Here's the number, Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. 888-852-4343. Rob Wilson's here with me, Timberline Firearms and Training, and I'm going to do the Stop the Bleed thing, I think. It's so hard to schedule anything. So, I mean, that's the problem I have is I schedule something in October. And is that on a Saturday?
No, it's I think it's a Tuesday evening. So,
oh, wow. Great opportunity. So we could do, what time is it again?
5:30.
Yeah, Tuesday we do our live listener calls. Maybe I could figure something out. Do it from Timberline.
Are you doing it live again, huh?
Yeah, well, do the calls Tuesdays? From Tuesday. Yeah, so we take live listener comments. I'll figure that out. I really want to get to that. Or maybe I'll send a – how old do you got to be? Is that 18?
No age limit. Nope.
You think Olivia could figure out how to do a tourniquet?
Absolutely. Yeah,
maybe I'll just send her out as my hey, Olivia, figure out how to stop if I – run the chainsaw.
You're gonna make sure she's your first aid provider. There, huh?
Let's get to a comment here that was way back that we were going to read in the first hour, but we never got to. This is from Tim. And I want to get, because you're a business owner as well, obviously. I know you've been in business for a long time. What advice would you give someone with an established small business in turbulent times?
Wow.
And now that's so broad because I don't know what Tim is doing, you know, what type of business.
Right.
But I would say this, when you're a business owner, it's always turbulent times because in my mind as a business owner, you're always kind of at like business war. You've always got to be on guard. You've always got to be paying attention.
Yep.
Keep your eye on the ball. But what advice would I give long-term? Let me, and you think about this. I'm going to get your answer.
I've got one.
I don't have like business structures or anything like that, or hey, you should do this or do that. But if long-term, you never know what's going to happen in business. And I've seen a lot of businesses that eventually maybe they're not worth what you thought because it's a service business and it's you. It's a job. So it's people are buying you. So if you sell it and maybe you have an accounting firm, well, it's maybe the list of people. Let me use an accountant, for example. Mm-hmm. What I'm surprised by is the number of business owners that don't own where their business is at.
Well, that's a tough way to start a business.
It's tough. But let's say, did he say he was established? What advice would you give someone with an established small business?
Right.
I know it's super tough, but let me use just the service business, like an accountant or something, or somebody who's, you know, you're not like a, you don't need a warehouse or something so huge. Mm-hmm. You could buy a, let's say you're out in Winslow and you have a small home in the area that is zoned for home business,
right,
or a business you could have, maybe you own another house. But I think owning your property and owning, and I don't give any advice. So don't, if this don't work out, you know, don't come back on me, but it's worked out well for me.
Right.
Owning where your business is located, I think is huge. This is Ray Kroc, but McDonald's. Mm-hmm. What business are you in? He's like, I'm in real estate.
Yeah.
I'm in real estate.
Yep.
It's that dirt underneath and then I lease it back to people.
Is exactly what I pay for.
So let's just say you're an accountant or a realtor or whatever, and you're going to work for 30, 40 years. Think about that. You could, if you can get a residential loan or even if you need a commercial, you got 20, 30 years and you're paying that off, you're paying rent anyway.
Yep.
So when you can, why not buy what you're working in?
Yep.
The business location. And then when you're done, if your business isn't quite what it was or whatever, or if you're just selling the list,
value,
you've got the value of that thing that you're just, and right now with super low interest rates, who knows how long that'll last. But I bought the building I was in. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was possible. I was in a big commercial building and I rented maybe 10% of that building. The guy's like, I'm sick of running this thing. You want to buy it? And I was like, okay. Yeah. I didn't have much money.
Didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Right?
And I mean, like, I don't remember what the price was, but I scrounged together whatever I could and he carried the note for a few years.
Yeah.
Eventually I moved out of there and I sold my business and then I just got into all real estate and I still have that building.
Sure.
So that would be my advice for long term, mm-hmm, I think, unless the country goes crazy and then you never know. But go ahead, Rob.
Mine would be is that, like you said, turbulent times happen all the time in small business, really.
Yeah.
And so there's not, during the turbulence, there's nothing that we can say generally right now because it's going to, you know, everything is going to be different. But the bottom line is the customer service that you provide during the less turbulent times is going to be what carries you through the turbulence.
Yeah.
If you don't establish that great customer relationship right up front from day one, then when those turbulent times comes, you're going to be the first one that's going to be hit the hardest.
Because the other ones that are maybe your competitors have those loyal customers.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's less money floating around.
So serving that customer first is always got to be the priority.
Wait, I got another one. I'll just make this one up here. You can advertise here on the show.
Well, there's always that. We know how important that is. Yes.
Yeah, that's super important.
No bias.
Let me add one more. We're pretty tight on time, so I kind of like this topic. I would suggest in this crazy world, you can come in. There's people coming in the studio.
Oh, no.
I would suggest in this crazy world that we're in, Rob, that if you work for an employer,
mm-hmm.
we see, I spoke with someone yesterday who works for an employer and they are insisting that he gets vaccinated. I won't say any names.
Okay.
And he's like, I don't want to do it. He left. He quit.
Uh-huh.
And I would suggest that everybody start something on the side. I know that sounds like everybody's going to be a small business owner. I'm not talking about you don't have to be a manufacturing big this, but everybody has a passion and something they like doing.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out how to turn that passion into a little side business because you not only then have some income when things go south or if you get quit or get fired or quit, but you also, there's no tax advice here. There may be tax benefits if it's not a hobby company.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people overlook that and don't start something they're passionate about. Now, running a business ain't easy. You know that.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Finding your passion, and even if you can't necessarily go full-time into that right off the bat, spending some time, investing some effort in that to start with, you might surprise yourself and end up owning the building you were renting.
Yeah, you don't.
I don't know.
I would do that. Yeah, I didn't think that was possible. Okay, final thoughts here in a second, Rob. But somebody who is pretty passionate about what he does is Carl, the Gutter Helmet Man.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and he sets up these gutters so you don't have to pick the pine needles and stuff and all the leaves out of your gutters, and you don't have to go up and the goop and stuff.
I was going to say, the pine needles and the leaves are the easy part. It's that gunk on the bottom of all the rotted.
Yeah. So Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona is the number one gutter protection company in the world, and you can call or text Carl right now, and he'll get you a price quote, check out what you got going on, and he'll take really good care of you. Here's the number, 928, text or call, 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555. We didn't get to a lot. I mean, we
always.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You said there was PD. Let's finish with this.
That's a good one.
Police department vacancies in Arizona here in Flagstaff.
Here in Flagstaff. I heard yesterday from a reliable source that there are 19 vacancies on the Flagstaff Police Department right now.
I wonder how many they've got. They can't have 80, 60, 80.
I think it was like 90-ish sworn officers. So that's a big hit. And they're missing 8 people right now in their dispatch office. So the 911 dispatchers, having a hard time filling those roles. But you know what?
Can you imagine why? I mean, it's been a hell of a position to be in for years.
But city council right now, you know, they've really made some strides on this. They've just decided to spend $500,000 building bike lanes.
No, that's good. Yeah, because that way, when you can't, there's not enough police officers. You can at least bike.
I guess I don't know
or something. Yeah, that's good.
It's I'm sure a lot.
Well,
of it
and they're
going to
do carbon neutrality by 2030. That would be more important than police officers.
I guess it would be
net neutrality or something like that.
We'll see. But that's a scary thing to me to hear that there's that, because what that means is the officers that are there are being overworked.
Oh, exactly.
And when you're overworked and you're put in position in high stress positions where you have to make snap judgments, you're not as likely to be successful in those. So I feel bad for the folks that are put in that position, and I hold our elected representatives responsible for that. You guys need to fix this.
Yeah, all the tough crap that's happened the past couple of years for law enforcement, and no wonder why. And I did read an article this week that Arizona, maybe it's DPS or someone, they were heading up to Washington State to kind of steal police officers from there because
it's so bad there.
Yeah, and it's so bad there, plus they got all the mandates and things, so they're like, people are like, hey, I'm done. I want to find a new place to go to, and they're relocating. All right, Rob, I'll just leave this pile here for Monday.
There you go.
Go out to Timberline, by the way, folks. Rob, I think you'll be out there all weekend, right?
Yep, sure yeah. will.
You're open 7 days.
We are seven days a week.
And bring your Namarco's targets, I guess.
There you go.
The pizza boxes. All right, folks, have a great, safe weekend. I'll be back Monday. Busy week next week. I know we have Congressman Andy Biggs and many others. Plus, subscribe to the podcast. Look up Talk with Jeff. And we'll see you soon. Take care.